This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, coming up in just about 40 minutes or so, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see your Washington Nationals take on L.A. at Nats Park.
Hey, real quick, before we go to Jesse, we were talking about Mike Mussina. We should mention, Mussina actually never won a World Series. He won American League championships.
Right.
He pitched in World Series in 01 and 03.
Oh, he never did?
He never. I think the year he retired, the next year, they won in 09.
Right.
He actually pitched in a couple, but never won.
Very good.
Gotcha.
Joining us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Jesse Dougherty, Nationals beat reporter for the Washington Post. Good morning, Jesse. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing better than Ryan Zimmerman, who limped off the field last night in the second inning. More bad injury news for him, for a guy who's already missed 53 games this season with the plantar fasciitis in his foot. What's the latest on him? Is this a season ender? What do you think we're looking at with Ryan here?
I'm glad you said plantar fasciitis because it gave me a roadmap of how to pronounce it myself.
Oh, I don't know if that's correct. I think that's right.
Well, we're just going to roll with it.
Okay, good.
He's going to undergo an MRI today. The fact that it's related to the injury that kept him out for 2 months is not encouraging at all. I'm not going to pull the trigger and say he's out for the season on this, but it would indicate that he would miss some more time. That said, we could show up today and the MRI results were good and he's back, and they're just going to have to ease him back into the lineup, maybe lower his workload a bit. But what really got me is that, yesterday he was jogging down the line. He thought he was out. He noticed that Josh Donaldson dove, so he started to speed up and sprint. And that's when his foot started feeling bad. So to me, it seems like that's just sort of a ticking time bomb. It was only a matter of one of these days that it was going to flare up on him again. It doesn't seem a sustainable way to keep playing until this thing really gets resolved.
Yeah, it was probably just a matter of time. You're right. And depending on how long he's out, it makes me wonder if Mike's going to try and make a we know that they need bullpen help at the deadline. Now it makes me wonder, all right, what do they do? Do they go out and get like a defensive first baseman? I mean, you could play Adams and Kendrick there and maybe Parra, but none of those guys are great defensive players. What do you think? Do you think that they're looking at multiple positions now in addition to bullpen help?
It's interesting because given how much this team wants bullpen help and is adamant about that and how close they are to the competitive balance tax threshold, they don't want to go over that. They don't have a lot of wiggle room. It seems like they're only going to make one, maximum two moves this deadline. That said, I thought for a while now they really could use a better utility infielder, sort of a stronger bench that's, beyond Adrian Sanchez and Wilmer Defoe or sort of this rotating cast of guys that they've brought through when injuries occur. And now that need could be even more magnified, as you mentioned, if Ryan Zimmerman, does go to the IL for a bit. One intriguing possibility, and this is really just a very much up in the air, and there's no indication this could happen, is that Mark Reynolds was just DFA'd by the Colorado Rockies.
Mm.
So he's out there and available. He was pretty good for the Nats last season. Power-hitting first baseman, kind of can just provide a similar role to Zimmerman and platoon with Adams and mix in with Kendrick, and really could be a piece until Ryan gets back, because he's a guy you could kind of just say, hey, come play for the next couple weeks, the next month, and then we'll DFA you again, and just sort of, shoot him back into the open market. But that again, that's just sort of a rumor I'm now starting. There's no legs to it. It's just something I thought would possibly be interesting in filling that hole.
So overall, how do you evaluate the four-game series with Atlanta? I mean, they do split, and, we were talking about it. If you split with the best teams and then clean up with everybody else, you're in pretty good stead. But it seemed like, I think you wrote about this, there was an opportunity to maybe do a little more here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's going to be colored by the time of on the calendar, and the fact that the Nats are chasing Atlanta is going to color how we think about this series. But you're right. I mean, the split against the first-place team is nothing to turn your nose up to. And if you say, well, the Nationals are still 6.5 back after this weekend, that's not – the problem there is not the two games they lost in Atlanta this weekend. The problem there is the games they lost to the Giants in April, and you know the Marlins in April, and the Mets in May. I mean, those are the games that you say, well, you should be closer to the Braves now. The ones you lost earlier in the season, it's not really a matter of this split is really keeping them in a hole. A split's fine. A split is a pretty good result against a really good team, and it really shows that these clubs are extremely, you know, well matched. I mean, there's each team got a lopsided win, each team got a close win. Each team could say, you know, their bullpen screwed up or they didn't hit well enough against certain guys. I don't think the Nationals are unique in this situation of coming out of this saying, wow, we really blew it. You know, we really missed an opportunity. I just do think, you know, down the stretch when you came into the second half with 14 matches against these guys, you need to use those to make up ground. So you hope at the end of the season it's not 7-7, and right now it's 2-2. So the Nats will have to get, you know, have to use the next 10 matchups better and see if they can actually make a push for the division, because it's a lot more stable to do that than play with seven teams for two wild card spots.
I'd say taking the split in Atlanta, knowing that Max wasn't going to pitch, I mean, that's even better for you. I mean, hopefully he pitches in the Rocky series, but if you're going to tell me Max is not going to pitch in Atlanta and we're still going to get two wins, I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Joe Ross and Anibal Sanchez in the back half of that series. You probably could have said, and Anibal Sanchez against the Braves ace at bat, and you probably could have said, you know, those are your two losses and you're going to win the games that Corbin and Strasburg start. Of course, you sort of flip-flop those. You lose the Corbin game, you win the Sanchez game. I mean, I agree with you. I don't think the split's bad at all. I think it might look bad on the surface because there's so much tension and pressure on the Nats right now to chase the Braves and sort of get them when they can when they're in the same park. But, you know, it really wasn't a bad weekend by any stretch. It just feels bad also because the ending was sour.
That being said, you know, they had a two-game lead in the wild card. Now it's a half. All right, so Mike's going to do something. This is what he does every year, especially in the bullpen. He's going to make some moves, and he's going to acquire a couple arms. Just a matter of who. Do you think? But then, you know, with the starting rotation, do you think they're fine in the rotation? Do you think they're content there when, you know, you throw Fetty in there and, you know, Ross on a spot start? Or do you think they're looking at a start or two?
I would personally, I think they should look for starting depth. Yesterday, Mike Rizzo, speaking with reporters in Atlanta, expressed confidence in what they have right now. You know, he said they have their big four, as he called it, and then, you know, a mix of Eric Fetty, Austin Both, and Joe Ross in the fifth spot. To him, it's satisfactory at this point. I'm not sure you want to hand another, you know, however many starts it is to those guys, especially considering that if, you know, a guy like Max's injury lingers, or Anibal goes out for a 10-day stretch, or Steven Strasburg, you know, lapses and maybe goes to the injured list. Then you're looking for those spot starters to shoulder an even heavier workload, and I don't think they've proven that they can handle that at the level that you need them to make a push into this, because you are, as you mentioned, you're fending off about six teams, and you're only up a half game, and if you want to make a push for the division, you're still six and a half out. You have a lot of ground to make up there. I don't know if the rotation talked about them is quite strong enough. 1-4 is great. 5 is a question mark, and I think if you can address it in these next 9 days, I think you should. Mm-hmm.
Joined by Jesse Dougherty, Nationals beat reporter for the Washington Post. It was a few weeks ago that Scott Boras was seen talking with the patriarch Lerner, with Ted Lerner, about the Rendon negotiations. Any follow-up on that? Any momentum, or is it pretty much dead in the water at this point as far as progress in those negotiations?
Yeah, not a ton of momentum right now, and even, you know, even immediately after that meeting, Scott Boras had downplayed it to, you know, Barry Sirluga from the Post, saying that, you know, it was more of just check in with his guys. He has so many clients on the Nationals that if he's in the area, he's gonna stop in. A Rendon deal was discussed for sure, and I think that conversation is on the table still. I just think the Nationals right now are pretty narrowly focused on the trade deadline. I even think Scott would understand that if these next 9 days he doesn't get a phone call or text from Mike Rizzo, he still would probably know that the Nationals want Anthony Rendon back beyond this season. He knows it's a busy time of year for these teams, especially with the hard stop deadline on July 31st this year. But you know, another element of that is that, you know, Anthony Rendon is not on the trade market. There was a time this season when we thought he may be, but come August 1st, it's solidified that no team but the Nationals will be able to negotiate with him, you know, from now until the end of the World Series. And that sort of starts another timer on their exclusive period to see if they can get an extension done with him. And then we'll see sort of from there, because they'll obviously be making, you know, they'll be scouring the market to see if there's any veteran ads. They'll be managing their minor league system. But once the trade deadline passes, their responsibility is really diminished, and they can really focus on Rendon and see if they can get that squared away.
Do you feel pretty confident that Max will pitch in the Rocky series?
I do. I would like to sort of answer that question once he throws his bullpen today. He's going to throw an extended session, and if he comes feeling good out of that. It will put him on his normal schedule. He typically throws a bullpen 3 days before each start. That would put him Thursday against the Rockies. I would think strategically it could make sense to push him one more day. That way you could line him up to pitch the opener against the Dodgers, the NL's best team, and then the series finale against the Braves next week on the trade deadline on July 31st. That way you sort of maximize your best pitcher against your best competition rather than throwing him against the Rockies. But, you know, at the same time, if he wants to just stay on schedule and come back as soon as possible, we could see him Thursday. Dave Martinez said yesterday he's hopeful that will be the case.
So you mentioned the Rockies coming in today for four. They've lost 13 of the last 16. They did win yesterday to salvage a game in the Yankee series. They won 8-4, but they finished the first half 0-6, and then they've lost 3 of 10 to start the second half. So not playing well. Yeah, they got some bats, but their starting pitching is bad. I mean, real bad. So you got to feel pretty good about this series, considering they're going to face two pitchers whose ERAs, I believe, are north of 6.
Yeah, definitely. And I think he needs to sort of, like tonight, for example, with Eric Fetty on the mound, is a game that I would say is a bit more of a toss-up because the Rockies do have a good offense, and they can explode on you if a pitcher doesn't keep it down. And he's shown a bit of command issues this year. He hasn't been consistent. After that, if you can line up Patrick Corbin, Steven Strasburg, Anibal Sanchez, or Max Scherzer, some combination of those four guys in the final three games, you like your chances. And you also like your chances of your bullpen going into to the Dodgers series pretty well rested. And I think that's also, you know, you don't want to stack one series on top of another necessarily when the Nationals need as many wins as they can get. But at the same time, looking at it from a sort of broad week view, it could be a pretty good situation for them to try and get six or seven out of their starters in the last three games of this and then going into a tough series against the Dodgers is a really well-rested opponent. I mean, that could be a good stretch. And then I think, as you mentioned, the matchup with the Rockies, the way they're playing, is probably good for anybody right now. And that's a big advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, thanks as always for the time. It's Jesse Dougherty, Nats beat reporter for the Washington Post. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
You got a couple former Nats coming in with the Rockies, with Ian Desmond, with Danny Murphy.
Very good.
And who knows? I mean, the Rockies have been so bad, they may just decide they're sellers at the deadline. You might see a guy like Murphy move.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even Desmond. Who knows? But, you know, they got Arenado, and they got Blackman, and they got Dahl. They got some bats.
Right.
But, man, their starting pitching's bad.
How's Ian Desmond been doing?
Ian Desmond currently has 12 bombs, 50 RBIs, sitting 270.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, he plays home games, of course.
Coors Field effect. Right. But you know what?
Well, let's see what happens.
Yep. So Nats' 10-game homestand starts today with the Rockies. When we come back, we're going to pivot and talk some skins. Is Alex Smith a top 25 quarterback of all time? Apparently,
what?
Bleacher Report thinks so. We'll get your vibe on that next here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are we doing this whole, like, I keep hearing short pump. Are we doing all this because Jason mentioned short pump and that's where he wanted to be? Or was that all?
I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
No, because that had the Fan and Friends has we didn't pick that location. They did.
Yeah, it just happened to be Short Pump, which Jason keeps talking about.
They've done events there before, I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a popular spot.
So that would be next
week. That's next week, right?
Yes, correct.
We head down there Monday or Tuesday? I'll be gone, so I'm not sure what the travel plans are.
We're there Monday night, Tuesday night.
What are your travel plans?
Wake up at the crack of dawn on Saturday and speed down to South Carolina.
Do you wake
up and beat the traffic?
Like at 4:30? That's like what we do.
No. I'm usually on the road by 4:30.
Yeah. So you wake up at 4.
Try to be on the road by 4:15. It's generally the plan.
You have the car loaded the night before?
Of course.
So all you have to
this
do
is not my first rookie. Rodeo.
No, I'm just asking you. This is what we do.
Yeah.
So you just wake up, drag the kids, they just grab their little
iPods, blankets, AirPods, whatever.
And they just
stuff them in there.
And then go.
And then go as fast as I can get through Virginia without driving like a maniac.
Because if
you speed in Southern Virginia, you're an idiot because you're going to get a big fat ticket. Just wait until North and South Carolina. There are never any cops on the road there.
But you
ever.
Can still go 75.
Yeah, you can still just don't do 90.
No.
Don't do 90.
I would say don't do 90 in
if
any
state.
If you
do 90 in like Emporia, Virginia, you're guaranteed a ticket.
Mm-hmm. So you,
guaranteed.
You leave at 4:15 and you will arrive in that oasis that is Key Island around 1:15, 2 o'clock.
No, not that late because there are a few stops. We stopped to grab some groceries on the way. Check-in's not till 4.
So you actually.
You got to kind of plan it out, plot it out, like your stops.
So but when we go.
I can't leave at 6 because then every jerk.
Late.
Every jerk on the East Coast leaves at 6. And then everybody's
that's
on
a lot 95, of traveling.
95 at the same time.
See, we leave. We have the same thing. Check-in's not till 4 when we do the Outer Banks.
Yeah.
But we leave around 4:30 because we want to beat all the traffic.
Right.
But our little community where we always rent from allows you to show up and, like, use the community pool, use the ocean and everything.
Ah, that's nice.
So you can do that at, like, 10 a.m. until you check in at 3.
Right.
So you can, and so, we'll, you know, that's what we'll do. We'll have
solid
breakfast.
Move.
And then, but we'll be at the pool by 11, 12 o'clock. And it always shocks me. I don't know if this happens to you in Kiowa. A little bit more remote. It's a little further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People will recognize me in the Outer Banks.
Really?
Oh, it happens every year. Multiple times, usually on the first day I arrive.
You know, generally
it's
doesn't
crazy.
Happen. But
there must be a lot of people on vacation there.
Last year, a donk just recognized me in, like, the clubhouse of the Ocean Course.
Right, exactly.
He was there with his wife and his family.
It blows you away when you're on vacation.
And trust me, I wasn't playing golf.
Yeah, what are you doing here playing golf?
I was eating lunch with my kids. We biked out there, you know, just to take in the views because it's beautiful. And have, you know, an oceanfront lunch, and they're, bam, Junk's listener right there.
Did you see that there was a dad that died in North Carolina when a wave hit him, apparently a particularly strong wave, and I guess it, like, I just read it quickly because it was too sad, it, like, broke his neck or something.
Oh, no, did you see that?
I mean, there's always the story of the dad that goes out there and, like, saves his drowning kid, and he drowns, and the kid survives, which, you know, horrible, but at least the kid survived. But this one is just a dad out there just got pummeled by, they said, a particularly strong wave.
Well, that's terrifying.
And broke his neck. Killed him.
That's crazy.
Killed him, Cakes.
I mean, I thought my greatest tragedy in the last 10 years was when my silly Ray-Bans got washed away when a big wave hit me.
Right.
Just went over my head.
You never found him.
Never found him.
That happened to me, too.
Dude, once anything drops in that water, because
it's
murky.
It's impossible.
It's
you
murky.
Can't go in the ocean with your silly sunglasses.
No, you can't.
It could be 6 inches away from you. And you just won't find it.
I lost $150 pair of Oakleys
unless you get
that way.
Lucky.
I did that once. And
no, you'll never find them.
I did that
they
once.
They don't float.
And by the grace of God, I was falling back into the wave.
Yeah.
And for some reason, God wanted me to hold on to the Oakleys.
Right.
And it was literally it was behind me like 5 feet.
He didn't
feet,
want you to part with
and
them.
And I just put my hand in the water. And for some reason, they were right there.
Yeah.
And I just snagged them from underneath the water.
All I know
I said,
is
I'm not doing that ever again.
There's some kid that's nearsighted in Rio de Janeiro that all of a sudden one day found my silly Ray-Bans just washed up on shore.
Mm-hmm.
He just couldn't believe his luck.
I remember when we were in college, these were cool. I mean, like, for a year.
Yeah.
So they're probably people don't remember they used to have those, like, I don't know, you would wear it around your neck.
Okay.
It was like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like croakies.
I guess.
Yeah.
You would know what they're called.
It was like a little strap that
went
from.
Like a little strap. It looked kind of cool. Like fluorescent or something.
Yeah.
Do they sell those anymore? Do kids wear those?
They do, but I think it's more now. It's like just like a little thin wire that holds them on. And then I had those
on. And you still lost them?
Because the stupid wave went over my head and washed the whole thing off.
Oh, my God.
Gone.
Did you have your back to the wave? You didn't see it coming?
Didn't see it coming.
You never have your back
generally,
to the wave.
The
that's
waves,
a rookie mistake.
The waves there are generally very docile. They're like 2 to 3 feet high. Right. You sleep on them all the time.
So you just caught them on a bad day.
The big silly got me.
Yeah.
Didn't realize it was coming.
Yeah, it was a coastal storm out there.
Yeah. Valdez, are they called croakies?
I don't know, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It's more of like a like boating type thing.
Oh, is that what it is now?
That's what I always assumed.
Kids don't use it like at the beach or something? That's what I thought they were for.
And beach.
The glasses bit that I do not understand, but apparently some people still do it. The glasses that are magnetic and come apart.
Oh, yeah.
Like they have the strap and they look like just regular.
Yeah,
you know,
and
like,
then they just connect.
They connect. And if people just want to take them off with the quickness.
I've seen guys do that with like
readers. Like magnetic.
People will do that with like their readers. Or
maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It tilts me when I see it.
I need to get the readers
now. I just think it's
now.
A super nerd book. If you have glasses that come apart in the middle,
right.
then dangle down by your,
right.
by your neck.
Look how large the print is on my text.
Mine's
now.
I know, it's just that's tilting.
Huh? Have you noticed that?
I've noticed your guys' phone. I noticed it first with Jason.
Well,
that
dude,
Jason has the biggest text I've ever seen in the world.
It's not that big. It's probably the same as yours.
Yeah, I don't know how. It just like kind of naturally gets bigger. I mean, I know you can pinch it with your.
It's actually embarrassing.
But I need to be able to see.
Well, I can't wait till you're 50. You'll be looking at the same fonts when you're 50.
Mine's kind of silly.
Yeah, cakes is silly.
Yeah, they're small.
No, but see, if you bring it out here, if I really like stretch the Armstrong type arms, I wouldn't be able to see it. But right here, boy's money.
Why would I strain my eyes and make it normal? I make it big. I remember when we first started working at JFK, like years ago, was that 96? Is that when we started working? JP's not here. He's the official show historian.
96,
he can tell us the exact date.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows exactly how many shows we've done.
Yeah, he knows the date, the number of shows. But when we first started working there, and I would use the call screener software, G. Gordon Liddy had the big print. So his call screener software was massive.
Uh-huh.
And it would tilt me.
Was it right next to his pee jug?
No, sometimes he would just go to the bathroom. Allegedly, sometimes G. Gordon Liddy would just sometimes go in like a milk jug or something.
Correct.
Instead of
Radio Insider.
During a long show.
Yeah.
But his call screener software was just like our text now.
Right.
Huge font. We've reached that stage, Cakes.
Yeah. Pretty soon we'll all be wearing
I'm not ashamed. Look, I mean, I could make it smaller on the text, but why would I want to do that?
Dude,
it's harder for me to read.
I had a devastating moment happen to me. So over the weekend, it was at Dive Divisionals again.
Yeah,
which my daughter won again, back to back.
Very nice.
That?
Nicely
pretty cool.
Done.
Look at that.
It's in her younger year too, so she's like in a 9-10s. She's a 9 to
Props.
Win. That's pretty cool. But anyway, I dropped my phone, and this has never happened to me with the Samsung. I got the cracked screen on the corner.
Oh, it's the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
Oh, it's a downward spiral.
And I'm thinking, I might go, do they even, like, you know, go to those iFix places or whatever? Do they even fix hoopty Samsungs?
I'm sure they would.
Or they only do iPhones?
They claim they fix anything.
That's a good question.
Yeah, anything with a screen, they'll fix
that.
It. Yeah.
Well, it'll be $100 though, right?
Oh, yeah.
It'll be $100.
75 or 100.
I can't have a cracked screen. It'll just tilt me forever. It started down in the corner, but it's like a windshield. It's gonna spread. It's gonna spread, right?
Yeah. You got to get that taken care of.
How did the case thing not?
The case is nubs. It's the same case that I have. I'm shocked mine doesn't. Have
it's not guarding the screen, is it? It's just guarding the back.
It gets. It started in the corner. Somehow it landed in the corner. It just pummeled it. Bitter.
Look in the game of phone expenses.
You're way ahead.
You couldn't be further ahead.
So just pay my $100 and just.
You're
do
like
it.
Usain Bolt in a 100 against me. You're so far ahead. You couldn't be further ahead.
But any sort of iFix type iRepair or whatever those little hacky stores
yeah,
you
like
see
those kiosks.
Yeah, they could do a Samsung.
I would guess so.
Even though this is an old model,
doesn't matter.
This is probably how long have we had these?
5 years?
For a while.
5 years?
Has it been? Maybe not. Maybe four.
No, 2 years.
No.
When Samsung Steve came in here and
yeah,
he was clipping
the
our...
They're on the S10 now.
I'll tell you exactly because, I mean, it starts tracking your pics like from when you got your new phone, right?
What do you mean it starts tracking your pics?
It dates your pictures from when you have your new phone,
you
right?
have it all the way from the beginning? Okay, what, does Samsung
right
Steve
now.
Still work for Samsung?
No he's idea.
Selling washers
yeah,
and dryers?
Yeah, I thought he was in the washer dryer division.
Oh,
yeah, but he man. Still has connections.
My first picture was taken in late September 2017.
So it's been about exactly, well, a little under.
Coming up on 2 years.
I find that hard to believe.
Didn't it seem like we've had this forever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what tilts me about Cakes' phone?
What?
Is that so
we
when
have the exact same case.
So when Samsung Steve came in,
yeah.
he like preloaded like a cool junkies background
right.
on the
yes,
back.
Yes, he did.
Like, you know, on the back of it where it just has your logo and
right.
everything.
Yeah.
And Cakes is in such a box. It's been 2 years.
He hasn't changed it?
Yeah, he hasn't changed it.
Haven't changed
hasn't
it.
Hasn't personalized his phone one single bit.
I have not. And I have a billion pictures on my phone.
Yeah.
A billion pictures.
Nothing
doesn't
of his,
everybody
nothing
have a
of
picture
his kids
of their kids
or dog
yeah, I generally
or
do,
wife
but for whatever reason, for this phone,
it's just,
I've never strayed
I don't know what,
from the old
because he's in a box.
Exactly.
He's in a box.
Like he hasn't changed it once.
He's always been that way.
Yeah, I just haven't changed
it's been,
it.
You know, close to 3 years.
Don't you ever look
at your
phone and go,
it.
You know what? I'd like to see a picture of my family.
He hasn't had a moment in his life. He hasn't had a moment in his life. That right. gives him so much joy to put it on his phone that he has
that's
the same.
That's not
true. Have you never had a text like, you know what? That's a nice family picture. Yeah, I'm going to put that in the cover of my phone.
I have a billion pictures in my gallery. I don't need it to be right there when I
Why
open my phone.
Why did you get to
phone.
See it? It gives you, cheers you up every time you pick up your phone. Instead, you see the junkies
yeah,
logo.
Maybe I like yeah. this. Maybe I like the font of this logo.
You really want to think about JP when you're making a call
Look,
at 3 o'clock?
This is my home screen. It's got my gallery, the junks, and DraftKings
about
right
these,
there.
You're right.
It's got everything I need.
It is embarrassing.
Right.
Thank
it
you.
It has the 106.7 the fan
Why?
Logo.
What do you have on your
Why
your
would
dog?
You care what I
what
have on
Valdez?
My phone?
We don't. Kids.
We don't.
So what do you have on your home
I'm
screen?
I'm joking. I just have some generic mosaic.
Yeah, you have like a beach scene.
All right, Drabby, what do you have? Do you have your dog? You probably have your dog.
Of course.
He's got Oak.
The one that's dead or the...
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know.
I got Oakley on the lock screen and my wife on the my main wallpaper back.
She gets the second?
Well, yeah, dog first.
Yeah.
Dog first.
That's a better picture, to be honest.
Right. What is Adam at? Let me guess. Adam has like one of the wizards or something.
He probably has Chuck Lee on his screensaver.
I have that silly color orange from that documentary we all watched.
What's he talking about?
I have no idea.
Firefly or whatever? About that festival?
Oh, okay.
Firefly.
What are you doing?
Firefest?
Firefest.
Just
weird. I got sized for that color orange.
Oh. Yours is worse than...
And I'm weird for having...
Yours
the
is
junks.
Worse than cakes.
Hold on. But, let me see that. Let me see that orange. That's all you have.
You know, for that ill-fated Firefly festival that everybody was talking about a year ago.
Did you have a weekend? Was it pizza banging weekend?
I mean,
remember he was going to go to the new bar with all the college girls.
Oh, yeah. Did you do right. that? How'd that go? It was Friday night.
Yeah, no success there.
A shocker. Yeah. And then you went to Pamplona, held court on Saturday.
Yep.
How'd that go?
Ate the entire restaurant, pretty much.
Right.
We all got unlimited tapas, and I'd never gotten that many tapas.
Right.
I mean, I probably
that means
had,
your belly's expanding.
Oh, I know. I probably had like 14 croquette balls.
Right.
Silly. I had two orders of mussels.
Right. Uh-huh. You know, I wasn't the only one that goofed on you and your belly. You know that, right? The other day when you wore that soccer jersey.
Who else was goofing?
CK.
No. Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, he said that to you, too, right?
He's, yeah, they were all saying I'm wearing a schmedium.
Yeah.
What are you? Schmedium.
It's a large. I need to be rocking XLs now.
You need to go XL.
I've taken the step into the
X. Tonight.
It's better. Trust me, it's better to wear an XL and not have the protruding gut.
Yeah.
It's just better. It's a better look.
You need to start going XL.
Dress
You're in the XL world
man.
Now. Where are you on your pant size?
36.
Oh, yeah. 38's coming.
Oh, no.
it's around the corner.
38's
doing push-ups.
Hey, so what was the talent like at the place on Friday?
I mean, there was a lot of
talent
it.
Talent was strong, but yeah. you were just whiffing.
He's just a bad recruiter.
Yeah, terrible recruiter.
He's just Pretty the whiff much, master. Yeah. He's just whiff.
Because your problem is you wait until you get hammered, and then you're gross to people.
Kind of.
That's pretty. You understand that, right? Like a girl doesn't want to talk to some passed out dude.
I just think it's about the situation. I don't walk up to a girl in the right vibe, and she's all either with another girl, and neither of them are sized.
They're out probably because they're sized.
That's usually the case. They're not sized for you.
They're not sized for you, but they're probably looking
I'm
because they're
good
out.
Night. I'm having a good.
You think
night.
Anybody wants to hang out with that?
Nobody
guy?
Wants to talk to that.
Is the pizza banging? No one wants to hear that.
All right, when we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win your Nats Dodgers tickets.
Hold on, are we doing this 25?
We're going to have to push list? That to the next segment because we started talking about my phone screen
saver.
We can
do that at 8.
I'm going to do that at 8.
Some, right. Yeah, some list.
I need
came
background
out.
On it.
Bleacher Report came out with a top 25 quarterback all time list.
And right? it's got Alex in the top 25?
It's got number 25. And by the way, there are some names that are left out that.
All right.
There's,
can
no
we go
chance
that?
There's no chance Alex Smith's the 25th best quarterback of all time.
Right. I can't believe it.
I mean, come on.
God bless him. All right, stop worrying about those pesky plumbing problems. Call the 5-Star Plumbing Experts. My guys at Crop Metcalf. From water heaters and garbage disposals to sump pumps and main water lines, Crop Metcalf's 5-Star technicians can handle all of your plumbing needs. Call today and save $50 on your next plumbing service. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-Star technician, now proudly serving in Fauquier County, Culpeper County, and the surrounding Piedmont area.
All right. All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
And to PenFed for providing those tickets all season long. So, of course, we'll have another pair to give away tomorrow.
Drabby, what I can't believe is, you know, one of the worst stories of the year was the grandfather who dropped the toddler off of the cruise ship by mistake.
Yeah.
And the parents did a sit-down interview with Samantha Guthrie on Today over the weekend. I can't believe they're talking about it.
It just looks super gut-wrenching. Like, I'm not even hearing the audio, just seeing the parents obviously distraught talking about it. Like, it's just awful.
I mean, there's no way. I mean,
know why anybody wants to watch it.
I would just run away and hide.
To watch it?
I can't believe they're talking about it.
Yeah.
Props to them.
Maybe it's a way of dealing with the grief.
Maybe. You're probably right. But, I mean, can you imagine? It was her father, right? It was the grandfather.
You read more about it than me. I can't read those stories.
I think it was. I mean, can you imagine what that relationship's like now?
No.
I mean, it's got
to
be.
But he claims he wasn't trying to dangle the kid, right?
I mean,
what was the claim?
Because
originally they said he was dangling the kid overboard or something.
I think what he did was he sat her on the railing. Uh-huh. You know, sometimes you'll sit
the
toddler.
That makes sense.
And she squeezed out of his grasp
and just fell to her death.
How 100 feet.
Felt like 10 stories.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just unbelievable.
I just can't imagine talking about it.
Yeah.
But maybe you're right. Maybe it's for the
maybe it helps with the grief. I don't know. It's just horrible all the way around.
Mm.
All right. So people are calling for the game. Are they getting
caller 10?
Caller 10. Is that simple?
It's
all right.
That
so
easy.
Give me the top 25. What's funny is I Googled this, and Bleacher Report, they do these kind of things all the time, and I got an older list.
Oh, okay.
So the list I got, it was like Bob Greasy was 25.
Mm-hmm.
The list that Drabby gave us, they must have updated it, has Alex Smith as 25. So they're top 25 quarterbacks of all time. Let's start at the beginning here, all right?
Okay.
I don't think anybody's going to have any real qualms. You can maybe bitch about where
like
they
the
are.
Ranking, right.
You know, but, I mean, Brady won, obviously, with all the championships. Peyton, 2, ahead of Joe Montana, 3. So maybe some people have a problem with that. Marino, 4, never won a championship, but everybody knows how talented he was. Johnny Unitas, then it gets weird when you start getting these different era guys, right? Johnny Unitas, 5. Troy Aikman, I think that's inflated. They have him at 6. 6 best quarterback of all time.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at his numbers, they're certainly, they're not modern numbers.
Different era, yep.
Joe Namath, 7. Roger Staubach, 8. Terry Bradshaw, see, I'd have Bradshaw. I might have Bradshaw ahead of Staubach, maybe not. Kurt Warner, 10. That's pretty freaking high for Kurt Warner to be. Kurt Warner ahead of Drew Brees.
And Elway.
Ahead of John Elway.
Right. There's no chance Warner was better than Elway.
Ahead of Steve Young.
And he's definitely not better than Steve Young.
Jim Kelly, 14.
Right.
Roethlisberger, 15. Now you're getting into a lot of modern guys here. Philip Rivers, 16 all time. Ahead of Brett Favre, who's ahead of Aaron Rodgers, who's ahead of Tony Romo. They have Tony Romo as the 19th best quarterback of all time.
I think that's where you start to lose some credibility,
mm-hmm. I think. Drew Bledsoe, 20th. Carson Palmer, 21. What?
Right.
Bob Greasy, 22. Played forever. Bill Sims, 23. Warren Moon, 24. And then Alex Smith, 25. This list starts to fall apart around 19
Is this just to create debates?
Well, that's what
probably
they all are. That's what
be.
They all are.
I mean, everyone's talking about Bleacher Report top 25.
Right, so seriously can you take it? I believe they spelled Warren Moon with one R. I mean,
they botched that.
What are you doing?
They don't even know who Warren Moon is at Bleacher Report.
All right, I think at 19 is when they really fall apart, right? That's where Romo, Bledsoe, Carson Palmer, then they have Greasy. I'd put Phil Sims ahead of all those guys.
Alex Smith is a fine quarterback, but he's not the 25th best.
No. Give me the others that didn't make the list.
Well, there's Hall of Famers that aren't on the list. Dan Fouts is not on the list. Dan Fouts is in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I don't think they have Sonny Jurgensen on the
list.
Sonny
Jurgensen not on the list.
Bart Starr is in the Hall of Fame. He won 2 Super Bowls. I believe he was MVPs of the first 2 Super Bowls. I could be wrong.
Right. Yeah.
He's not on the list. Now, you could say, oh, different era. You never saw Bart Starr play. Okay, it's fine.
I mean, is Fran Tarkenton on the list?
No.
No, great
Hall of Famer.
I mean, he's not one of the best 25, and Alex Smith somehow makes the cut?
There are Hall of Famers that – is Alex Smith going to Hall of Fame?
Some millennial wrote this.
Probably
Let me ask
right.
this. Is Alex 100%. Smith going to Hall of Fame?
No way.
No chance.
How about not in a trillion years?
Correct.
If you had a trillion years on Earth, he would never make it.
So how are there guys on the list that are not going to Hall of Fame above guys who are already in?
I don't know. That list is very confounding to me.
It's a terrible list.
Can you see how they came up with it? Is it one millennial
because
that wrote
here's
it?
The thing.
Or are they saying they
There's
did
not
voting?
Even an article linked to it. It just was this guy was – people just kept passing the image around on Twitter this morning because Alex Smith was trending because of this.
Oh, really? Was he?
So the only thing that's available is just this screenshot of all the quarterbacks. There's no
so
real
information.
So maybe this
is fake news. Is this even a real
no,
thing?
No, I don't know.
Because I Googled it, and it came up with an older list with Bob Greasy at 25.
Yeah, like from 2011.
Yeah.
Let me see that. What list is that?
This is the one that has him at 25.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But if you Google Bleacher Report top 25 quarterbacks of all time, it's a totally different list.
So they change it every year.
Or this is just some fake meme that somebody put out there.
Yeah, who knows?
Because
can you find it? Can you find it right now? You can't
I'm
find
trying. Alex Smith. I had a hard time.
Yeah, I think this might be a fake list.
I don't think it's fake, but I just can't find the origin of it.
You are fake news.
By the way, Eli Manning's career poo-poos on Alex Smith. Eli Manning,
Eli would be ahead of him.
100%.
Yeah.
He's got like 100 more touchdowns than Alex Smith. And he's got 2 Super Bowls. This is a fake list.
Tony Romo can't be ahead of Dan Fouts. Tony Romo can't be ahead of Dan Fouts or Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're in the Hall of Fame, you're one of the best to ever play.
Yeah. You have to be on that list. If you're a Hall of Fame quarterback, you must be on that list.
I mean, if they got Johnny Unitas on the list, then they have to have guys like Bart Starr and Dan Fouts.
I mean, I put Joe Theismann ahead of Alex Smith.
Here's a memo to the callers.
I mean, they got
the
Kurt Warner ahead of Steve Young. Are you kidding me?
We need Brian Dierstein to call back, or else your Nats tickets are going to be given to somebody else.
Well, you can't call in with a screaming baby and then give me your name, and I say, what's your phone number? And he hangs up. Oh. And that was the end of it.
He thought just giving you his name was going to hook him with the ticks?
I don't know what he was thinking.
Right.
I said, hang on a second.
So, Brian Dierstein, you're on the clock. Call us back.
Yes, Brian Dierstein or Beerstein?
I believe.
Deer. Okay.
Beerstein would be a better last name than Dierstein. But what are you going to do? It's the last name he was given. But anyway, that list, EB, if you have to go take a deuce later during the show, you should bring that list and use it in case they're running low on toilet paper.
I did the unthinkable yesterday. I had a situation happen, and I did it at the pool. It was a neighboring pool, too.
Pool bathrooms are just...
Oh, yeah.
They're not as bad as an airport bathroom, which are absolute worst.
Those might get more frequented. Those might get more usage than any.
So heavily trafficked.
Oh, yeah.
But there's something about a pool bathroom at, like, a public pool where you know that nobody's cleaning the toilets.
This one was
regularity.
Pretty clean, though. Again, this is like in a foofy Potomac pool.
The lifeguards.
It was pretty clean.
The lifeguards, they'd be lucky to lift their head out of their phones when you're walking in or to save you if you're drowning. I mean, they couldn't care less about what's going on, let alone cleaning the bathroom. Right. But a pool bathroom is generally kind of gross, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do, Cakes? We were there for hours, and there was only so long I could hold off. Eventually,
I guess when nature calls, you just got to do what you got to do.
Well, I held off for hours, but then once we got to around 11 a.m., I just had to go.
I was out to dinner with my wife last weekend in Bethesda.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Was it Barrel and Crow? Restaurant in Bethesda.
Never heard of it.
Made a 6:15 reservation, which I wasn't crazy.
Ooh, that's late for you,
Kay.
It's very late.
That's about an
prime
hour.
Time.
That's an hour later
it's
than you're
very
used
very late.
To.
Why didn't you make one earlier? They didn't have one available?
Had some extra time. We showed up at the bar, had a drink before dinner.
Well, you enjoyed yourself a little bit.
Yeah, enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah.
What I didn't enjoy was going to the bathroom, and it was the one urinal, one stall combo.
Yeah.
And there's a guy right at dinner. He just can't contain himself.
Had a full dinner, and he had to go?
I guess, or had some sort of incident, like, during dinner. What kind of monster goes in during dinner time is just doing his business in the bathroom.
He's on a bad schedule.
Bad schedule.
Some people just
poor scheduling.
You know, some people's systems work where they when they just sit down to dinner
when they eat it triggers
right. So right after they eat, they gotta go.
Really?
Some people do that. I got friends who will be in the bathroom 10 minutes after they have dinner. I'm like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you?
This guy, I think, just had his appetizer and he was in ruining my dinner.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Well, sometimes smells do that. Like maybe if a certain smell of food
triggers you.
I didn't know that.
Hey, coffee. The smell of coffee
the smell
in the
of
morning
coffee will make you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Now, what is it when Jason sees the sun that makes you sneeze? Right? It doesn't make
that's
you
like
go
a
to
real
the
thing.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, right.
That's a real condition.
But it doesn't make you go to the bathroom.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that things could trigger that. Like a smell.
Yeah, you smell some Folgers in the morning.
That Folgers, of course.
Right.
Well. Yeah, Jason's thing is called the photic sneeze reflex.
Yep. It's now, definitely a thing.
It's also backronymed, I don't know what that word means, as autosomal compelling helio-ophthalmic outburst. No, that can't be right. I'm about to get on you.
Look, I don't know what it's called.
That can't be right.
Hey, I don't know what it's
two
called.
Fake stories in a segment.
That's a fake-ass story.
Hey, Richie, I don't care what it's called.
Right? Yes.
But it's a condition.
It's a real thing.
Because I know it is.
Because
it's documented.
It happens probably 9 out of 10
days.
Well,
other people have emailed and tweeted that they do the same thing.
Out of 10 days, if I walk out of that building, out of the lobby, and I look straight up into the sun, I will sneeze. Multiple times.
Yes, you will. It's your thing.
Probably two or three times.
Well, you know what? How about you stop staring at the sun?
Because I feel it. I already feel it. When I walk out of the building, I already feel it coming.
Triggers.
Right.
So I have to look up to get it out.
Hmm.
Sneezing's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It just is.
I don't know. It's
sneezing
not fun.
What you do when you go to the bathroom,
but it's blowing in the nose.
Yeah.
All right. I've told you this
a
million
times.
I know,
but I can't keep track.
Sneezing's fun.
All right. Have to take a break. When we come back, we will dive into EB's entertainment page. It's
entertain
a Monday,
you.
So he's going to tell us what happened at the box office and more next year on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.